Enjoy. The fourth hour first up continues here on TSN 1050. Karolnik and Al's brother with you, our final segment of the week. Well, we got our FanDuel best bets coming up in just a moment, but for now we welcome in our good buddy, TSN football insider Dave Naylor to the show. What's up, Nail Gun? How you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad. Still living off the drama of last night's field goal clinic.
Yes. Well, or anything but. So take us through what it was like sitting on the CFL on TSN panel last night. It was with Farhan Lalji, with Davis Sanchez, and with Milt Stegall when Mark Leggio was setting up to kick a, I believe it was a 31-yard field goal to win the game at the end of regulation. And he looks like me on a golf course, just shanking that ball to the left. What was it like in the studio at that moment, Dave?
Well, it was guffaw. I mean, I think one of the things we've all got used to watching the Winnipeg Blue Bombers is that there's a script. And they usually flip that script in the fourth quarter. And they are, you know, they're lights out at that point in the game. And I think there were a lot of things we didn't anticipate. I mean, Winnipeg turning the ball over with essentially the game in their hands. I mean, with 8 minutes left, they're driving about midfield. They're up by a touchdown. Bang, turnover. And then the drive that Montreal put together that lasted about 5 minutes. That's a long drive in Canadian football when you hold the ball for 5 minutes. And, you know, they took the ball over, you know, not deep in their own territory. So it was really, you know, they were kind of killing the clock at the same time as they were marching the ball down the field. And you have the kind of bizarre play calling of the three straight quarterback sneaks from the three that, you know, almost backfired on them. But it just felt like, you know, that even when there were some challenges, you know, Winnipeg wins this game. And when it went to overtime, we all talked and said, yeah, we all think Winnipeg wins this game. Although one of the panelists, and I won't say which one, the one on my left or my right, said right before the kick in overtime, he's going to miss this. So, and he was right.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a shock. I mean, Leggio had the shank of all shanks at the end of regulation, and he hit it off the right upright in OT, ultimately resulting in the Bombers' first loss of the season to Montreal at home, as 9.5-point favorites on FanDuel, I might add. But, Dave, let me ask you, was there any talk when Winnipeg was setting up at the end of regulation to punt the ball through the end zone, take the rouge, and win the game? Because I'm sitting there, I'm yelling at my TV, I'm like, why are you kicking it? You add, there's so much more of a possibility of a muff snap or a bad hold or a missed kick like ultimately happened. Doesn't the punt offer a lot more cost certainty, especially at the 24-yard line?
You know, it's a great point, and we didn't think of it at the time. It's not something you see very often, and I'm going to ask some people why, because you're right. You know, a field goal. I mean, look, it was, as you say, it was a shank. It wasn't close. Now that's a very, very makeable field goal, right? I don't know what the percentages on that are, but you'd have to then start figuring out, okay, what's the mileage on a punt from the 24? You know, you're probably kicking it at about your own 32-yard line. You're talking about a 20-yard CFL end zone. So you got to hit a 55-yard punt, basically, to get the single.
Yeah.
Normally punts are measured from the line of scrimmage, right? So you're actually a 45. You know, when you say somebody's made a 45-yard punt, you add yardage. It's actually longer than that, right? And so,
right. So
you know what I'm saying? Because the punts are measured from the line of scrimmage. But in terms of pure distance, you'd be talking about 55 yards. And I don't know what the percentage is on that versus, you know, hitting a field goal from the 24. But, wow, it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, they decided to kick the ball, and it didn't go very well. It also didn't go well when Leggio had a chance to tie the game in overtime as well. Ended up costing Winnipeg their first loss on the season. Dave, do you anticipate Winnipeg to maybe bring in some legs over the course of the bye week here to give Leggio some competition?
You know, I'm not sure they're going to do it over the bye weeks here, because the place they'd be looking would be from the National Football League, probably, right? And the NFL does not cut down during camp like they used to. They kick it, they cut every, you know, you can cut players, but there's no mandatory cut down anymore. So, you know, 95% of your NFL cuts come on Labor Day weekend. So there's going to be a glut on the kicker market coming in September. Now, not especially the nature of kickers, not all of them want to come, you know, to play in Canada, because a lot of them will want to just hope to get that call from the phone, you know, that another kicker in the NFL pulls a groin or, you know, or is having a bad few games. Kickers live for that phone call because they can show up, you know, on Thursday and play on Sunday. Heck, skip Thursday. Just show up and play on Sunday. You can insert them in your lineup is what I'm saying. So I think a lot of kickers would, you know, they're not necessarily easy to get to come to says, hey, can you commit in a CFL contract? Because the last thing they want to do is sign a CFL contract for $100,000 and then 3 days later get a phone call from an NFL team. So, you know, there is a glut on the market, but that there are some restrictions there. Look, because Winnipeg's 9-1 and because the playoffs aren't a question and the division shouldn't be, you know, it's not something I think they need to address right away. Legio was 19 of 21 into this season, so it looked like he had kind of, you know, taken that step where, you know, he was a competent pro. But look, that was a big crowd. It was a big stage. It wasn't a must-win game for them, but it was certainly a game that falls under the bright lights category. And look, we'll find out a little more. Was, you know, that was the hold, was the snap, were there issues there or not? But ultimately, you know, I think it's something the Bombers have got to pay attention to. And they addressed it last year. I mean, they rode it out for 2/3 of the season last year before they traded for Sergio Castillo. He's, of course, now in Edmonton. But there will certainly be options, and they have lots of time to address them.
In conversation with TSN football insider Dave Naylor and another team in the Canadian Football League that has had some kicking issues this year are the Toronto Argonauts with Boris Beattie, but not exactly the biggest storyline heading into the rematch from last week with the Hamilton Ticats, a game our boy Al's brother will be in attendance for. With regards to Hamilton, I'm looking at their depth chart this week. I see Matthew Schultz in at quarterback with Dane Evans out. Of course, we know Braylon Addison suffering that gruesome injury last week, Dave. I'm struggling to see a way in which Toronto isn't considered the favorite side here, even on the road. How do you see this game tonight?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this one. And I would have said the opposite before the injuries. And you know, Dane Evans hurt his shoulder last week. He's not going to be in uniform. So, yeah, you have Matthew Schultz as the starter. And you know, Schultz is one of those guys who's kind of been a bit of a survivor in this league. You know, he doesn't do anything physically sort of that jumps out at you or impresses you. He doesn't come from a big school. He comes from Butler University, I believe. And, you know, that would tell me, you know, those two things sort of combined would tell me he must be a very solid citizen in the locker room and a really good student of the game and probably somebody that players will lead or will follow as a leader. So we'll see what he can do in this situation. But, the receiving core is depleted. And the Argonauts are kind of the opposite, right? They've been getting healthier. They're getting healthier on the offensive line. They got Eric Rogers back now. And so you've got, that's, I think the teams are sort of trending in opposite direction, but the Ticats are just a mystery to me. And actually, both these teams are very mysterious. Yeah. With Hamilton, I think it, you can attribute a lot of it to just, you know, unexpectedly disappointing play from Dane Evans. I mean, he just flat out hasn't been as good as people would have expected. And, you know, the second half of that game last week was just, you know, two and out. And one of those two and outs, you know, got blocked for a punt return touchdown. And then they sealed the game with a pick six at the end. So it was funny. The crowd, for an Argo game, not always the most boisterous, rowdy CFL crowd, a bit of a passive CFL crowd in Toronto. But I got to say, they were getting pretty impatient with McLeod Bethel-Thompson towards early in the third quarter. There were cries for Chad Kelly, and then all of a sudden Bethel-Thompson completed a 40-yard pass, and they, you know, punched one in, and they got, I say, one on special teams and one on defense. But it wasn't exactly like the Argo offense, you know, rose up in the fourth quarter and started driving the field up and down. So I still think there's much to be proven here.
So, of course, a topic of conversation we seem to have almost every year, you and I, Dave, is the place of the Toronto Argonauts in the city's sports landscape. And we know it's definitely not what it once was. Where it is right now is up for debate. Let me ask you this question, this hypothetical. I was thinking about this last night. If Nathan Rourke was doing what he was doing in BC, but he's doing it as a Toronto Argonaut, how do you think that would affect the Argos attendance-wise, interest-wise? A lot, a little bit, not at all? What would your perspective be on that, Dave?
I would say somewhere between a little bit and, you know, notable and noticeable, right? Like, okay. The question is, would you have a noticeable bump? Would we see, and then these numbers are almost embarrassing, you know, to recite, but the Argos are getting, what, about 11,000 a game now? You know, would Nathan Rourke get them to 13? Would he get them to 15? Would he get them to 17? I think he might be worth 13 to 15, something. Would he be worth 3,000 fans a game? I mean, that's probably optimistic. I would like to think so, just because on top of it all, he's an Oakville, Ontario kid, right? He's an Ontario kid. He's a kid who's, you know, look, he's worth the price of admission. Like, he is a star in this league. But I'll tell you why I really am kind of tempered on that answer is, and I think sometimes this is really there's a lot of revisionist history around this, but I mean, I was around, of course, this league when Doug Flutie was playing for the Toronto Argonauts in 1996 and 1997. And, you know, those were great teams, but they were not the talk of the town, and their attendance was not great. And that was Doug Flutie. Right now, that's before he went back to the Bills and caused, you know, a great furor in the National Football League with his return. But, you know, Doug Flutie didn't move the needle really in this city. So, I'd like to think Nathan Rourke would. Look, winning games would, right? The Argonauts have not been a very good team. Even last year, they won the East Division, but it was a bit of an excuse me kind of winning the East Division. And you know, I think overall, I'm struggling with your question because I want to say it really would matter.
I know.
I want to say that, but
I think the answer is noticeable. I truly do believe that because and you mentioned Doug Flutie, and at least statistically, the comparison between Flutie and Rourke to this point, still a long way to go for Rourke, is pretty apt. I mean, Rourke's on pace for 54 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards. That's basically what Flutie did as a member of the Toronto Argonauts in his two seasons here. And he had 47 touchdowns in 97 with 5,500 yards. Pretty good year for Doug Flutie as a Toronto Argonaut. So that is an interesting comparison to make, but attendance and interest in the Argos in the city, it's a tough discussion to have without a lot of people getting outraged at us on Twitter. So maybe we should move on to lighter topics, Dave.
Hey, like, just for the record, I'm an Argonaut season ticket holder. I pay for my tickets. So, you know, if I'm talking about attendance, you know, I'm there. All right. So,
I know that. So let's talk about a clip that we discussed earlier, the answer the question, Steve. And 20 Fingers did a good job in digging up the extended version of your tete-a-tete with Steve Simmons all those years ago. Let's play it and have you recall exactly what transpired. Go ahead, Chris.
Sure.
What do you think, honestly, the players would say if you say, you can go, but if you come back hurt and can't play, you don't get paid?
Let's begin with that. There's been approximately 500 NHL players.
Answer the question, Steve. Would the players share in the financial risk? Answer the question, Steve. Would the players share in the financial risk? Answer the question.
This isn't about risk.
Answer the question, Steve.
It is a lot like They Did It, Naylor, where you hear it in isolation so many times, and then you hear it in longer context. You're like, oh, wow, that got a little heated. It sounds a little different. What do you remember about Answer the Question, Steve, Dave?
Well, it's funny because I am sort of an outlier on this NHL participation in the Olympics thing, right? And because the media in Canada really piles on that one and, you know, guilts the National Hockey League about the fact that they won't let their players go. And what I was saying to Simmons is like, it's a ridiculous arrangement for the NHL because all of the benefit goes to the Olympics and all of the risk lies with the owners, not the players. Like if the players go over there and get hurt, they still get paid their NHL salaries. But if their star player goes over there and he gets hurt, you know, that hurts the team, that hurts the owner. So it's all risk. So I said to Steve, do you think the players would go to the Olympics if they would share in the financial risk with the owners, you know, if they got hurt? Like, you know, like you get only half your salary because the owners don't want to get cheated out of this because they let you go to this hockey tournament where somebody else makes all the money. And Simmons would not answer the question about whether or not he thought the players would, you know, should share in that risk. And yeah, so I was trying to put, it's always one of my favorite pet topics. It's like, honestly, Olympic hockey participation is like, hey, AK, can I borrow your car this weekend? Cause I got a job and I'm going to get some money for it. And oh, by the way, like if I scrape it up and wreck it, that's your problem. Like that's essentially what the Olympics are saying to the National Hockey League. So on that one, I am very one-sided and Simmons would not answer the question about whether he thought NHL players should accept some of the financial risks of going over there.
Answer the question, Steve.
There it is.
There it is.
What a beautiful
that's a good
game.
Point, though.
And of course they wouldn't, right? Like that's why they're not there.
No.
So there you go.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Big weekend ahead of the Argos and the Tabbies tonight. We've got a couple great games tomorrow, including BC and Calgary. Can't wait for that one. See if Nathan Rourke's able to follow up that incredible performance he had last week against a much more difficult Calgary team. Nailgun, have yourself a fantastic weekend. I'm sure we'll chat with you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, AK. Take care. Bye.
All right. Dave Naylor, TSN Football Insider.
I'm not
I went
here.
A little Larry King there. I love the Nailgun. It's my guy. Sorry,
I'm not here.
Brother.
Thanks, AK. Nothing to me. I'm not
it's
here.
A tough one. Answer the question, Steve.
I'm just going to put myself on mute, and you can take us out. Because
answer
I'm
the
not
question,
here.
Steve.
Yes, you're here. You're here.
It's actually a good point, though. Like that Naylor brings that up. It actually is kind of a solid point that doesn't get talked about. It's like, I mean, they still expect to be paid, but they're going and doing other work. I mean, I don't know.
Remember John Tavares got hurt, tore his ACL, yep. missed the rest of that regular season? You know,
yep.
that's just what it is. And I'm an NHL
Islanders
owner.
Had to take yep. it on the chin.
They did, and then he deserted them.
Yes, he did, which, you know, say what you will now, whether or not Leaf fans are happy about it in today's world.
I know, we know the answer to that one. The answer, not so happy, not so happy. But, you know, what's it, 3 or 4 more years left at $11 million for Tavares?
3, I believe.
Yes, okay.
3 more years.
My FanDuel best bets coming up on the other side, and I am feeling good about tonight's card. Karolnik, DeStefano, back after this.